We can say hi now.
We can say hi. Hi, guys.
We are trying to get Instagram loaded for this time, so hopefully it plays nice with us. If you guys are on Facebook, do me a favor and jump over to YouTube so I can keep up with your comments. Facebook seems to lag, and I don't always see them. But we have Tom here, and we're going to get into this discussion about bees and the metaphysical properties and the health benefits and all the ways bees and honey are good for us.
If you have any questions, make sure you write them into us.
Yeah.
We'll answer them live. Everything you wanted to know about bees.
And then some, and right? Because we actually carry your honey now in the store. All right, we have Instagram this time. It's going to play nice with us. Yay!
Oh, great.
Actually, I'm going to move that real quick so we can see. They'll type down here.
Okay.
So, hey, Mary.
Hi, Mary.
And Meg, joining us on Instagram. We have Tom. What is the name of your business that
business,
you do?
Business, Midwest Native Skills. And we've been in business since 97, so that's 23 years, and teaching outdoor wilderness survival. But part of that is outdoor self-reliance and rediscovering the old ways. And one of those is beekeeping. So
beekeeping, yes. Beekeeping. Bees are important right now.
Yes, for the pollination. They do about 40% of the pollination. So without the bees, we'd still all survive, but crops would be
tough going for us.
Tough going, so that means the price of crops, food goes up, and we don't want that to happen.
Right. So bees, the spiritual as well as health benefits.
Yep.
Right.
Yes. So I
found that bees are like their totem, meaning hardworking, the busy bee. That saying comes from bees and how hard they work, because they're always doing something.
The bee in the summertime actually works itself to death. They'll live about 40 to 45 days in the summertime, and mainly because they're working so hard going out in to get the nectar, and mm-hmm. it's dangerous out there. There's robins that want to eat them. They're flying through stuff. They beat up their wings, so they do work hard.
Oh, wow. Those poor little guys.
Yep.
I love the pictures of the cute little bee butts hanging out of the flowers. Those are adorable. I'd rather see that on my timeline than all of the political crap.
I hear you.
but they also represent fertility and sexuality, and I think that kind of ties into the honey and the sweetness.
Mm-hmm.
And in biblical times, they were associated with Christ because he was so, you know, gentle and even keel, and you know, just sweet. He always tried to help everybody.
Good.
So
that was their sweetener then, back then too.
Yeah, yeah, they didn't have sugar like we have,
and no,
it was
no.
honey.
So it was honey.
Oh, right. So
and we also have mead wines.
Mead wines.
That was way back for the monks made it. And that was a mainstay.
Because wine was more healthy to drink, right, than
right.
some of the water that they
yeah,
had back
that's
then.
That's true. I believe that now, too.
You make mead wine, and we've had classes with you on how to make
yep.
mead wine.
It's relatively easy, and there's all kind of, once you get into it, you can make plain mead wine, but then you can add herbs to it, you can add spices to it, and you can make 100 different types. So it's
nice.
Just a lot of fun.
So hopefully here soon, when we find out, you know, whether or not we're allowed to have classes again,
yeah,
we'll be able to schedule that
sure.
and do that again. So again, if anybody has any questions of Tom about bees, if you have interest in starting a beehive, or, you know, what kind of flowers you can plant to help little mm-hmm. bumblebutt bees, you know, Tom is the guy to ask. But what would you like to tell us first about bees and the honey and what we can do with it?
Okay, let's start with if there's someone out there that has an interest in starting an apiary, which is what if you have one hive or 50 hives, it's still called an apiary.
Okay.
You can do it at home if you have a yard that's 50 feet by 150 feet. That's plenty of room.
Okay.
If you have more than that, that's even better.
Okay.
So
it doesn't have to have like tons and tons and tons of space. And
actually, you won't see very many more bees in your yard than you do now, because
oh.
the bees go up to 2.5 miles away. So once they leave the hive, you could put a little fence in front of your beehive. So when they come out of the hive, they fly above that fence and then they go to wherever they're going. So you won't, you know, you won't be swarming with bees in your yard.
Okay.
See what you have now. So anyone can do it. It's people always ask, well, how much time does it take? About an hour per week to go in to check things out. And then probably 3 or 4 hours when you're extracting the honey, and that's taking it out of the honeycomb. And we can talk about how that all happens.
Okay.
But so it's not labor intensive. Cost a little bit of money to buy the boxes and to buy some of the equipment. I'll just show you some basic equipment here.
Okay.
But once that you're set for
you're
a long
good to
time.
Go.
You're good to go. One of the first things you see beekeepers have is something called a smoker. And you just put burlap or you can put leaves in here, pine needles, and you start this smoldering.
Okay.
You close this, little bellows on the back. There it goes. You pump the bellows, blows air in, and smoke comes out of here. And what this does, when you're in the hive, mm-hmm. it calms the bees down.
Oh.
And there's two theories why it does this. One is it makes the bees think there's a forest fire. So their main concern is not protecting the hive. It's going to gorge themselves on honey in case this forest fire devours their hive and they have to leave.
Oh, okay.
The second theory is it masks the pheromones, saying the alarm pheromones, saying, hey, there's somebody bugging the hive. But all you do is you puff this and all the bees that are all around there go right into the hive. So I think the forest fire has a little more merit than the masking.
Maybe, yeah.
Because they just go right in. And mostly bees are gentle. People always ask, well, do you get stung? There's always a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't gotten stung in 3 years. 4 years.
Okay.
When I was new, you know, you're a little more nervous, and they say that the bees can tell.
I was going to say, can they feel that? And then
yeah, it's kind of like a dog. If you're afraid of a dog, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Same thing with bees, but
kind of like if you don't like cats, you're the one person in the room the cat will come find
every time. So maybe I'm moving different, but bees are gentle. Bees don't want to sting you. Because they die when they do.
When they do, okay.
So, and people always get confused between yellow jackets and honeybees because they see something flying and that's a bad bee, it's gonna sting me, is the reaction. The easiest way to know the difference mm-hmm. is honeybees are on flowers.
Okay.
They're more orange, they're fuzzier. Okay. And the yellow jacket is at your picnic. They're around the watermelon and around the meat.
Okay.
And the yellow jackets are a bright yellow. They're the ones that make the their nest underground.
Okay.
So when you're mowing your grass, you run over them, they're going to come and get you. And a yellow jacket will sting you just because
you're there.
It's Thursday. Yeah.
It's Thursday. Any day ending in Y.
Yes. And they laugh to see how loud you can yell.
Now, are the yellow jackets one of the ones that can sting you multiple times?
No.
No?
Okay. Each yellow jacket one time.
Okay.
Wasps and hornets, they can do the multiple.
They're things. Ultimate assholes.
Yes. That's a good way to put it. but honeybees, like I said, and you never want to swat at them because the way they have compound eyes. So instead of seeing one image like we do, mm-hmm. they see a mosaic. If you ever go to a Best Buy and see when they have all the TVs up.
Okay.
That's kind of how they see.
Okay.
So when you swipe them, mm-hmm. they see all, you know,
tons of
25
hands.
Different hands coming at them, and it kind of scares them.
Aw, okay.
So that's
just
that's
back away.
Just back away, or
let the bee have the flower. And, yeah.
It doesn't matter. So, anyways, the smoker is one of the main tools. The hive tool, it's just a fancy name for a pry bar. Bees like to glue things together with what?
The honey.
Kind of, it's caulking almost.
Oh.
And they go to birch trees and resinous trees, and they bring this back and they make something called propolis. And it's real sticky. You can think of it in the summertime, it's like gum on the bottom of your shoe. And when it gets colder, it's pretty hard and stiff. But they use it to seal all the cracks so their hive is airtight in the wintertime.
Oh.
And it's extremely healthy. So a lot of people will get propolis from a beekeeper,
okay.
and they'll make a tincture of it. I'm sure most people know to make a tincture, you just put it in alcohol, leave it set for 30 days in a north-facing window, and then pour off the alcohol, that's your tincture. And you can take 15 drops three times a day, and it's just for overall health.
Okay, so it doesn't damage the hide to take that?
No, not at all.
Okay.
It's a pain in the butt for the beekeeper because it's sticking everything together and you're prying things
off.
Prying
apart and trying to get
it. So that's what this is for. And then the veil. You'll see beekeepers wearing a veil, and a lot of times you'll see them wearing a white suit.
Right.
The reason you wear white is because the bees don't see that as a threat. So if you're in all white, you can go in the hive and they'll pretty much ignore you.
Interesting.
If you're wearing all black, they think you're a black bear.
And they're going to come get me.
They're going to be very wary of you. Like I said, they're not really attack creatures, but they don't like black. And there's about 20 guard bees at the entrance of a hive.
Okay.
And they're the ones, if I would come up in white and you would come up in black, they're going to check you out and keep an eye on you.
Right. But what are my intentions with their hive?
And it's probably bad because you look like a black bear. So white is the color you want to use with hives.
Okay.
A lot of times you'll see experienced beekeepers just wear this hat and this veil over their face.
Okay.
Reason for that, and all beekeepers will have the hat and veil on. If you think about your face, what's dark on your face?
Your
eyes and your mouth. So if the bees are going to fly at anything dark, it's going to be at your eyes or your mouth, which you don't want bees there.
No.
Hence the veil.
No.
But a lot of times beekeepers will go in short sleeve, just like I am.
Okay. Yeah,
not in black, but you know.
Right, white
t-shirt. White t-shirt. And as long as you approach the hive at a 45 degree angle, they won't bother you. If you go directly on,
then you'll have a problem.
You're a threat.
Okay.
So.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's a whole, they've done a lot of research on bees and what they do and how they do it and all that. So. But those are some of the basics. The beehive, you have the white boxes. If anyone out there isn't familiar with the beehive, people say, well, why are they painted white? Anybody out there know why they're painted white?
Hi, Holly.
Holly.
Yeah, she's going to start wearing white during the summer to help make sure the bees.
They'll stay away from you. And naturally, if you wear a lot of perfume, they're going to be attracted to it.
Okay.
But they're just checking you out to see if you have any nectar in your pockets. So
they're confusing you for a flower then.
They are.
If you're wearing, especially floral perfume, I'm assuming.
Okay, nobody knows why they're painted white. Well, that's because the guy that taught that beekeeper how to keep bees.
Because he painted his white?
His white.
Oh.
And there's absolutely no reason why they're painted white. People think, oh, it's cooler in the summer, but that'd be cooler in the winter. So anyways, there's no rhyme or reason. You can paint them blue, green, yellow, any multicolor.
It was the paint that he had laying around, and it caught on.
And if anybody out there started keeping bees and wouldn't be listening to this, and they bought hives, what color would they paint them? But they saw everybody else paint them white. So it's just,
So now we should challenge people, like paint them tie-dye and send us pictures.
They're starting,
Just to see that.
Yeah, you can put all kinds of designs on them.
Break the monotony, guys.
Yep. So, but the life cycle of a bee is kind of interesting. In the early part of the spring, March, April, the queen starts laying eggs. In the wintertime, bees don't hibernate. They cluster around the queen to keep her warm, and they keep the hive at 53 degrees all winter long, regardless of outside temperature. Okay, so let's start in March. There might be 5,000 bees in the hive. The queen starts laying eggs, and there's only one queen in the hive.
Okay.
All the workers are female, so 98% of the bees in the hive are all female.
Okay.
And there's handful of drones, the other 2%, and the drones are the males, and they do absolutely no work.
Nowhere.
They don't do anything. They get waited on by the worker bees, and their only job is to fly every day up to about 2,000 feet and wait for a queen to come along so they could mate with her.
Oh.
That's the good part. The bad part is come September,
they die.
the females kick them out of the hive and they die.
They get tired of waiting on them.
Yep.
And doing no work.
Right. Exactly.
Not pulling their keep.
So anyway, so we have 5,000 bees in the hive and the queen starts laying eggs. She'll lay about anywhere from 1,000 to 1,500 eggs a day.
Oh, holy cow.
That's a lot. You can do the division with how many minutes there are in a day, and that's a lot. She's busy.
Yeah.
And she'll do this all summer long.
I don't envy her.
Uh-uh.
She can have that job.
So anyways, she starts laying eggs. It takes about 21 days for the bees to go from a larvae to a mature bee. And so now the hive builds up. We have 5,000 bees. In June, we'll probably have 15,000. July, we might have 30,000. August will be at peak, maybe 50,000 bees in one of those stacks of hives.
Oh, wow.
And all those bees are going out and getting me honey and bringing them back, which is great. Come September, October, at the end of the year, no flowers, the queen will stop laying eggs. Mm-hmm. We still have about 50,000 bees in the hive, and okay. They've stored honey.
Right.
Weather gets cooler. So they cluster around the queen.
Okay.
And they keep the hive warm, and she's in the middle, and this ball of bees is around her. So they're going to be moving through the hive all winter long, eating the honey and keeping the hive at 53 degrees.
Okay.
Problem is, the outside bees get chilled, and they die.
Oh, so that's why you have to start over.
So now there's 50,000. Come December, there's 40,000. January, there might be 20,000. February, 10,000. March, right. 5,000. And then she starts laying eggs again. They bring the hive up to actually 93 degrees, and they build up again. So when you lose a hive, it's if they run out of honey, or if that ball gets too low in March and they can't keep the hive at 53 degrees and the hive dies, then gotcha. I have to start all over again. And I have to order bees. You actually order them through the mail.
How do they ship bees in the mail?
To start a hive, if somebody wants to start a hive, mm-hmm. You call up about January. I want it about this big, mm-hmm. and it'll be enclosed in screen, and okay. it'll be about half full of live bees just running around. And there's about 3,000 bees in this box, and there's wow. a queen in there too, in a little matchbox.
Okay,
it comes U.S. mail because they can't do air flight because. If they go up to altitude, they all suffocate and die.
Right.
So I get a call at 6 o'clock in the morning uh-huh. from my post office saying, Mr. Laskowski, your bees are here. Come get them now. Because people are little. I mean, you can see the bees. They're not.
They're not going
to
harm it.
They're not. They have nothing to protect. But there's bees right here, and it's screened in, and people just are uncomfortable with that.
So you can't really poke your finger through the screen? And,
no.
Okay.
No.
So there's no reason to be afraid of them because they can't get
no.
out.
No.
But that still is just funny to me. That
if I had a box of bees here and you just hear a low buzz and you know there's thousands of bees right here, it's just okay, you know?
Right.
You're just uncomfortable.
So how do you get a queen bee? Like, are they just randomly hatched out of an egg? Or?
There are people that actually specifically raise queens. Huh. And it's a process because to make a queen, mm-hmm. you take a egg that was just laid. It has to be within 3 days of the queen laying it. And the bees decide we need to supersede this queen. Either she's not laying good or for whatever reason, she's getting old.
Okay.
They start feeding six of those larvae royal jelly. And that's excreted from a gland in their head.
Oh.
And that's where you hear royal jelly from. It's a special jelly excreted by the worker bees, given to a normal bee, and that transforms her from a worker bee into a queen bee.
Hmm.
So of the six, in 21 days, one will hatch first.
Okay.
She will go around, kill the other five. Now there's two queens in the hive, the old one that they're going to replace and the new one.
Right.
The old queen goes, well, I guess I'm not wanted here anymore. So she flies out of the hive and lands on a tree branch. Okay. Half the bees from the hive leave,
go with her
and cluster around her. And you see that as a swarm.
Okay.
Now, from that tree branch, they send out a couple scouts mm-hmm. to find a new location. Empty log, behind your aluminum siding, whatever.
Right.
They come back and they say, hey, we found a hollow log. And they have bee dances to show direction and all. They communicate that to the queen. Mm-hmm. The queen flies to that hollow log. The whole cluster goes with her, and they start a new hive there. Now, the new queen is in the hive. The bad part is I only have half the bees in that hive. So we had 50,000 making me honey. I only got 25,000. So my honey production just went down the tubes. Now, she is a virgin queen. So for a week, she's going to go up to 2,000 feet and look for those drones, mate with as many as she can. Every day, come back to the hive, go up there. And then after about a week, she comes back to the hive, stays there for the rest of her life, and she'll live for about 2 years.
Okay.
Where the other bees live in the summer for 40 days, 45.
Right.
But the ones that are alive in October will live all the way to March.
If they're in the inside of that little ball. And,
okay. They're really looking at why they do this, because scientifically they shouldn't live that long.
Well, and like they're not really physically aerodynamic to fly that way either. So bees are just a whole little magical creature all on their own you know, what they do. And what is it, you know, what is in that royal jelly that suddenly makes somebody be a queen?
So be careful, because I've seen places that'll sell royal jelly. Now, you know, a little bit comes out from a gland in the head of the worker bees to feed it. So if you get a jar of honey, this says royal jelly, and it costs $10. I don't think so.
that seems a little,
you know,
shady.
So if it is real royal jelly, it's going to be extremely expensive.
That's, I would think, because I mean, how would you extract it? Which could be a whole other topic. Yes. And
who's that's got, above my pay grade.
Because you're not,
I should look that up though.
You're not in the business of royal jelly.
No.
You're in the business of honey, which we are, and we'll show this real quick, because we do have Tom's honey, which, you know, local honey is good for local allergies, right?
Yes, if you can get honey from within about 50 to, say, as far as 100 miles. I like to say 50 miles of where you live. Help tremendously with your allergies. Mm-hmm. In 80% of the cases, it will all but eliminate them.
So I know, like, I use your honey when I have my coffee in the morning. That's my sweetener. Mm-hmm. So a teaspoon in with the coffee.
That's all you need.
Sure, you can ask a question, Lori.
Oh, I love questions. Hi, Marie.
We have, Lori. So Lori.
Lori. Hi, Lori.
Has a question about bees.
Okay.
We'll wait for her to type that in. You know, honey and coffee is really good, and I'm sure people have used it. Cause we're just waiting for the question to pop up.
Sure.
You know, other types of teas, right?
All the time. Just in water. You can, for weight loss, you can use the old apple cider vinegar with a little bit of honey.
Okay.
There's a whole listing of if you mix honey and cinnamon together. If you can look up that online, it does everything from arthritis to tremendous. But a trick there that they don't tell you, there's two types of cinnamons.
Okay.
There's a type you get in the grocery store.
Right.
And there's a type called Ceylon cinnamon.
Ceylon, is it?
C-E-Y-L-O-N.
Okay.
You want the Ceylon cinnamon.
Okay.
That has more of the properties that are going to be medically good for you. And the price difference is minimal. It's not like one is more expensive.
So would you find that more at like a health food store or
online?
Online.
And they'll say Ceylon cinnamon.
Okay.
And you would mix some like with honey, a teaspoon of honey and maybe half a teaspoon of the Ceylon cinnamon. Mix it with water and just drink it or put it in your tea or put it.
But coffee or some sort
yeah,
of beverage.
It's got a lot of health benefits.
Huh. I haven't tried that. I'll have to try that.
List. Do we have a question yet?
I think she might be typing it out.
Typing it. Oh, a long question. I can keep talking about honey.
Well, it is, while we wait for the question, antibacterial, right? So
yes.
Why is honey antibacterial?
Interesting you ask that. honey, when the bees bring in the nectar and add some enzymes to it, and then what they do is they evaporate the water with their wings.
Okay.
They pass the air over it, and that evaporates the water until it gets to 17% moisture. At 17% moisture, it is now honey, and they cap the honeycomb cell to store it for their use in the winter or when I come in and extract it. So it's at 17% moisture.
Okay.
So bacteria that float around in the air are about 21 to 22% moisture. So if you have a cut and they say you put honey on it, it's antibacterial. Mm-hmm. That's because if one of those little bacteria land on your cut, the honey, it's hydroscopic. It will suck all the water out of the bacteria and kill it.
Okay.
So as long as you keep your honey closed,
right,
it's still going to be 17%. Now, if you take your honey, leave it open for 3 weeks, it's going to suck water in from the air, get up to 22%, and then that'll be a perfect environment to grow bacteria.
So keep your honey, guys, closed.
Closed.
Like open, scoop out, close it back up.
And it would be a while. You'd have to leave it open for a week or two.
Just leave it sitting there.
Yeah.
Lori says she saw you in Ravenna. She was the one that walked in from the weather. But,
yeah.
But I thought this was a different kind of channel. Yes, we do sell. We do sell honey, which we have Tom's Honey here in the store. We have 1 pound, 2 pound, 3 pound. And they can also get the honey directly from you as well, right? On your
they'd
website?
They can come to the website, come to the house. But you have the whole array here. And so.
Yeah, and we're thinking when the bee pollen's ready too.
Yes, that's another product you get from the bees. It's the pollen, and they call it bee pollen. It's actually flower pollen. The bees have two sacs on their legs, mm-hmm. and they go and get the pollen, and they pack it into little, like, snowballs, and they put it in these pollen sacs and come back, and they feed that to their baby bees.
Aww.
So, as a beekeeper, I can put a pollen trap on, which is basically, simple terms, a screen. So when they come in the bottom of the hive and go up, it'll knock off about half of the pollen. Not all of it, about half.
Right, because you don't want to starve the baby bees.
Right. So I have a tray there and catch it. Mm-hmm. And then I just take that tray out, and it's very moist. So I dehydrate it, just put it in a dehydrator, get the moisture out, and put it in the jars. And runners love it. They say it's a superfood. It's got all the enzymes and everything. So runners, weightlifters, anybody really into health, bodybuilders, mm-hmm. they like to be pollen. And they say, well, how do you take it? Well, you can just take a teaspoonful a day. Mm-hmm. Some people love the taste. It doesn't taste like much. What I do is I take one of those red pepper flake shakers with the big holes. And I put it in there, and I just put it on salads, just shake it on salads.
Okay.
And, but now if the honey doesn't cure your allergies, go to your local beekeeper and ask if he's collecting the pollen. And if you take the pollen, I've never seen that not work to cure allergies.
Oh, I might have to try that because mine have been awful this year. I'm sitting here and I'm like blinking because my eyes are like burning.
I can use some bee pollen.
So Lynn wants to know, she has a friend that gets the bee sting therapies.
Yep, apitherapy.
She was wondering if you were familiar with that. And
Lynn, do they get it for MS or do they get it for arthritis? Those are the two that I'm familiar with. They have done quite a bit for MS.
Even MS? Because I've heard of the arthritis, but MS, you know. That could be a good thing. I know a few people, you know, that have MS, and maybe
I do have a story about arthritis and a personal story. Years now ago, I was starting to get pains in my ankles and stuff just before rain. I'm thinking, okay, I'm not young anymore. So it just so happened, I got two stings that year, and the pain went away. I said, okay, is this psychosomatic or is it something? I don't know. I didn't have pain. I was happy. Mm-hmm. The next fall, the pain came back. I got stung once. It happened to be in the ankle. And I have not had any pain since. And it's been like 7 years.
Oh, wow.
It could be psychosomatic, but they say it's for arthritis. It works. Now, I don't have, if this comes back, I don't know if I'm going to have the guts to just stick my hands in a hive and get the bees mad so they sting you.
Sting me. Of course, that would be the time that they wouldn't do it.
But like I said, I haven't got stung in 3 years.
So Lynn says, no, it's not for MS. So
it's for arthritis.
For arthritis.
And when I first started, 30 years ago, I signed up for our county's bee club. And everybody in the club, not everybody, but most people were in their 70s.
Right.
And from what I recall, not one person had trouble walking. Everybody seemed to be spry. So I think there's some truth to that.
So it's not like you have to be stung over and over again.
No.
It could be a couple times.
Depends on who you are. Depends how bad the arthritis is. I'm sure there's a lot of depends, but it seems to work. So if you do get stung by a honeybee only, it's not a bad thing.
Not one of those jerky wasps or.
Nope. But now that we're talking about stinging, let's talk a little bit about being allergic to bees.
Okay, so, well, real quick, Lori says she has fibro and arthritis in her spine. What to recommend other than bee stings? So would maybe the pollen work?
My gut says probably not.
Okay.
Because the stings actually go into your system and they cause a reaction in your body. That's what's helping the joints.
Okay.
The pollen would help. You could try it. Mm-hmm. I don't think it would help.
Okay.
At least it wouldn't help the joint problems.
Right.
But the stings, I think would.
Would.
It would be worth a try.
To try. Why not? I mean,
yeah.
I was going to say, what could it hurt? Well, it could bee sting hurt, but it's not.
Right.
I don't ever remember being stung. So I really don't know how bad it is to be stung.
Okay, well, the first time you get stung, we're going to talk about being allergic. Nothing will happen.
Okay.
It's the second time, and there's a small percentage of the population that is allergic.
Okay.
The second time, you'll get the allergic reacting called anaphylactic shock.
Okay.
So the first time, you go, okay, I got stung, nothing happened.
Mm-hmm.
Wait till the second time.
Wait one more time.
Okay. When you get stung by a bee,
mm-hmm.
The normal human reaction is it hurts.
Mm-hmm.
The area will swell.
Mm-hmm.
And in about an hour and a half, it'll itch like crazy. And that itching will last probably a day in that area.
Okay.
That's normal. That's not allergic to bees. That means you're a normal person.
Okay.
Allergic means you get stung by the bee and your throat swells, closes, you can't breathe.
Mm-hmm.
And you die in about 10 or 15 minutes. That's allergic. That's why the people take the EpiPens.
The EpiPens.
So
okay.
That's the allergic reaction. And some people say, well, I got stung and it just was swollen a little. But this time it's really swelled up. That's because when you get stung, there's a little poison sac on the back of the stinger.
Mm-hmm.
And that has muscles all to its own. And it keeps pulsing for about 2 minutes. So if you get stung and you don't get that stinger out right away, it's just pumping keep going. Now, if you're doing it for arthritis, maybe you want that to happen. But so what you're supposed to do, never squeeze it because you're just squeezing that poison in. Take your fingernail, scratch at it, or take a credit card, and just back and forth to get the stinger out. So you're kind of brushing it off.
Okay. In the opposite direction that it went in, obviously, because you don't want to...
Both ways, yeah. It's going to be hard to see which way it went in, but yes, it'd be the opposite direction.
Okay. So, Lori, Tom does sell bee pollen,
yes.
And we'll get it here in the store as well. So you could either get it here or with Tom. What's next on our list of things to tell people? And keep coming in with questions,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, we love questions.
Otherwise, you know, we just kind of read off information, talk about it, wait for questions, interactions.
Well, the honey.
Elizabeth.
Oh. She's
got a question. Yep, Elizabeth on Instagram talking about how, this things help with arthritis.
Okay.
So she's had experience with that or knows somebody who has.
Yep.
Hi, Sandra. Sandra right down the road. She's one of our good regulars here.
Oh, really? color of honey, you can kind of tell what time of year it was extracted. The spring honey typically is lighter.
Is this golden color, right? Because this is the spring honey we have.
That's the spring honey, yep. Midsummer, it's going to be your typical gold color, a little darker.
Okay.
And then fall honey is the darkest color yet. And I know a lot of Europeans love to cook with it. With the darker colored honey, it's got a little different taste. Still, it's all sweet, but I personally like the spring light honey.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be lighter, a little more sweet, no aftertones. It's just honey.
Okay.
However, the darker the color of the honey, the more antioxidants it has in it. So for health purposes, you do want the darker colored honey.
Okay.
In my opinion, for taste, I like the lighter.
The lighter. But is there a thickness difference ever for the season two?
A little bit thicker in the fall, but okay. They're capping it at still about 17%. So it's real close.
Okay. Oh, so Sandra wants to know, is your honey pasteurized or raw?
Ah, good question. It's raw honey. What happens, and thanks for the question, because this is a question everyone gets. When honey is what they call, if you remember the high school chemistry, a supersaturated solution. Remember those things from chemistry?
Way back when.
All that means is there's more sugar in the solution than it should be able to hold.
Okay.
So if it crosses, the temperature's around 53, 54 degrees. So this typically happens more in the wintertime. Mm-hmm. What happens, that sugar falls out of solution and it crystallizes and it makes the honey kind of like slushy.
Okay.
And you'll see honey that's crystallized. The honey is not bad. Honey never goes bad. They found honey in Egyptian tombs 2,000 years old. It's fine. It's perfectly good. And to get the crystallized honey back to liquid honey, mm-hmm. you put it in water that's 140 degrees and leave it there for about an hour and a half.
Okay.
Don't put it in the microwave. That's too much heat all at once. Right. And don't put it in above 140.
Okay.
Because that's going to pasteurize it. We'll tell you why you don't want to do that. But then at 140, it'll turn right back to honey and you're good to go.
Okay.
Now, the problem is when they have put honey on the store shelves, mm-hmm. the storekeeper, if his honey was crystallized, most of the general public doesn't know what I just told you about crystallizing. So they think the honey is bad or went bad and they won't buy it.
Right.
So that's not good. So rather than try to educate the world on what crystallized honey is, they said, well, if we heat it to about 165 degrees, that will help, not totally, but help it not crystallize.
Right.
It also kills a lot of good bacteria, the health benefits of the honey. It still tastes sweet. It doesn't taste any different. But
right.
health-wise, it's drastically reduced. So anything you buy in the store is pasteurized. Just for shelf life.
Gotcha. Which is why we keep yours.
I do not do a thing. In fact, I'm kind of lazy. I take it from the honeycomb. I use a hot knife, take the cappings off, which is a wax capping, and that exposes the honey. I put it in the centrifuge. It's a big drum. Mm-hmm. I put the frames in and it has a crank on it, and it spins it just like a centrifuge, and it spins the honey out. Honey drops to the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have a bucket there. I put it in the bucket, leave it settle out because right. there's some wax particles. Mm-hmm. And there's a gate on the bottom. Mm-hmm. I open that gate and I put it right in the jars. So it goes right from the comb into the bucket, into the jar.
Yeah.
Now that's called raw honey, cold pressed honey, all natural. They have all kind of crazy names, but it just means no heat's been added. And you want the honey that no heat has been.
Now, you mentioned in passing to look for if the label says bottled in or,
yes.
Is it really local or not?
A lot of honeys now is coming from China and South America. They have totally different rules. Everybody's heard about the colony collapse and the mites and the problem beekeepers have. It's getting to be more and more of a problem. Back when I started, none of that was around. It was really easy. Now we have all kind of things to worry about, the mites and things. So there are chemicals that kill the mites and help your hive live through the winter. And they're using them extensively in South America, mm-hmm. China, and in the United States.
Okay.
That actually can get into the wax, can get into the honey. And if you're getting honey from China, if you look at some store honey, it'll say bottled in Columbus. Yes, it was bottled in Columbus, but they got the bulk honey from China or South America.
It shipped it back over. Uh-huh. And then...
And sometimes they cut it with corn syrup. But if it says 100% honey, see where it's from. Now, if you are buying local honey and you know the beekeeper, ask him what he's doing about the mite problem. And he's going to give you one of three answers. He's going to say, okay, I'm using wintergreen, menthol, and what they call a screen bottom board. If he says that, that's all natural. That's what I'm doing. I'm putting wintergreen and menthol on the top. Mm-hmm. And I put a screen on the bottom, so when the bees come in and a mite falls off, it falls on the ground and it gets out of the hive. So I'm adding no chemicals to my hive, no chemicals in the honey. There is a chemical that is approved by the FDA. It's called Apistan. It's approved. It is a chemical. The beekeeper is not supposed to have it on the hives when he's collecting the honey. But that is a chemical, and it's going to help his bees live longer, so he won't have to replace them as often. So his honey might be a little less expensive because he doesn't have the expense of replacing bees. If he's using something called Check Mite, it's bad. You have to use gloves and almost a respirator to put it on. It was banned here, but now they gave a temporary approval. I would be very hesitant about getting honey that hives had Check Mite on. It is approved by the, it's not doing anything illegal, but it's a chemical that is not a nice chemical.
Yeah,
The best is if he's using natural methods, but that beekeeper will have more winter losses, which means he'll have to buy new bees, start bees up, and so his cost of making the honey is a lot higher, so that has to be reflected.
I don't know why the thought of a box of bees going through the mail is just so fun to me. I don't want to keep bees, but just the thought of getting bees in the mail in a box is fun.
And you get queens that way, too.
Hey.
I know earlier this year I went in my hive, and I kind of looked for the queen, and I couldn't find her. Because she's a little longer, a little skinnier, looks a little different. I said, okay. So I looked and I didn't see the bees bringing pollen in. That's the second red flag.
Uh-oh.
The bees had a weird buzz to them. And after so many years, I kind of knew that they sounded different, like agitated. Mm-hmm. Not at me, but just
something's
standing
right
there and buzzing their wings. And then I said, okay, let's take the hive apart. And I was looking for babies and I didn't see any.
Oh.
Although, so they... Either the queen's not laying or she's not there. What happened to her? Maybe when I was putting the hive together the last time, I pushed some frames together and maybe hurt her, killed her by accident. Maybe she died of a heart attack. She's not there for whatever reason. So I called Georgia and I said, you know, I need a queen. And they said, okay, do you want an Italian, Carnolia? And I said, Italians, they make good honey. They overwinter good. They said, okay. The queen was like $40. And then they shipped it. That time they shipped it UPS overnight.
I was going to say, surely they would have to go overnight with a little live.
It came in a package in a little matchbox. And what I did is I went in the beehive with this matchbox. And I just suspended it in the hive and left it there for 3 days. There's a candy plug in one end.
Okay.
And if I open it up and threw the queen in, they might accept her. They might not. But by putting that little box in there for 3 days, they get used to her pheromones, her scent, and they eat the candy to let her out. And that usually takes 2 days, 3 days. By that time, they accepted her. And now she's already been mated, so she goes right to laying eggs and good to go. So that's how you re-queen a hive.
How fun. Elizabeth on Instagram wants to know if honey helps with gut health.
Yes. Don't know a lot about that, but if you take the honey and the cinnamon, that was one thing it really said for any kind of intestinal problems. And because it's antibacterial to the bad bacteria.
Okay.
And we want to make that distinction. You know, you have good bacteria in your gut.
Yeah, you need that good.
Yes.
You need that good bacteria.
So that's going to feed the good bacteria. It's not going to be so good. But I would just use honey or just use
And that was kind of like a 2-to-1 cinnamon ratio, honey, 1 cinnamon.
Yep.
And the Ceylon cinnamon.
Yeah.
Okay. So I wonder, should we get to the more metaphysical?
Sure.
Things?
Yes. I have some.
Because I think we have some that are kind of waiting for that.
Yeah. Okay. I had to write some things down here because I found a lot of interesting things about different things. Okay. Honey is sweet.
Yes.
So that's what is used in magic for sweetening up people. You got another question?
Oh, Yeah, she Lori was wondering, since the color through the seasons change of honey, uh-huh. does the flavor change?
Yes. I'm not good, you know, in tasting wines to telling you how it tastes, so I'm not much better with honey. The fall honey tastes a little heavier, if that makes any sense. It's like, you know, it's a different sweetness. Mm-hmm. The taste will linger a little longer. It's stronger. I guess that's a good word. It's a little stronger. The light honey is light in color. It's light in flavor. And mm-hmm. it's just sweet. So you can see the color. Like I said, we have the spring here now. Mm-hmm. And if you decide, gee, I like the spring honey and I don't like the darker colored honey, my recommendation is stock up for the year. Figure, okay, I go through a pound a month, then I better buy 12 pounds because it never goes bad. Mm-hmm. And if you wait till September, there probably won't be any spring honey left. You'll be getting still good honey, but it's going to have a slightly different taste.
Right, right. So Lori likes the deeper flavor. So she would be looking for the late summer yep. into fall honey.
Yep.
For
the darker colors.
For the tasting. Yep. Now, there's not really a metaphysical, magical difference between the seasons.
Not that I've ever found or read.
Yeah. I've never noticed it the few times that I've used it. Like honey was always honey, like in that sense honey, of yeah. working. Now, but would you consider, or do you think the fall honey is a little more, because it also seems to be a little thicker, at least the ones I've had, be better in the binding work if you were using the honey as like your binding, your glue of a spell part?
I would say the best thing to do mm-hmm. is do a little meditation and ask.
Okay.
I think that would be the best way. If you feel it is,
mm-hmm.
It is.
Then do that?
Yes.
Okay.
And like everything else, it's the intent. So, you know.
Right, right. All right, Sandra, we have the size, whoops, go the right way. Like one camera, you go the opposite way. the other camera, you go in the... So we have the three sizes. This is the 1 pound.
1 pound. Oh, one other thing about the honey. If she likes a darker honey, she might be using it in cooking, which okay. is great. If you bake bread at home, mm-hmm. use honey instead of sugar.
I was just going to ask if you could substitute it.
You can. Okay. But there's a benefit because remember I said honey is hygroscopic, meaning it attracts moisture.
Mm-hmm.
So you bake your bread with honey, that mm-hmm. honey's in the bread. So if you leave your honey out accidentally on the counter, it's not going to go stale. It's not going to get dry because right. it's going to be pulling water in from the air. So your bread's going to stay moisture.
Right, right.
So, or your cake or whatever.
Right.
Little trick you can use.
Oh, let me see here.
And it's healthy.
Right.
And you have the honey taste.
So, I mean, one thing you can use with a simple little like intention, magic, whatever you mm-hmm. want to call it, spell. I like to, when I do my spoonful of honey in my coffee, whatever I'm going to work on that day, like I stir it in with that meditation and the sweetness of it. And, you know, then you drink it because then you're also putting that intention back in. So not only are you thinking about it and setting that attention, but then you're also ingesting it. So that whole transformation, my mind's going blank.
Anything
the transformation of the intent to actual physical.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Stumped you too.
Yes.
Type it in if you know what my word is, guys. So, I mean, that's a real simple
manifestation.
Thing. Kind of. That,
but not quite.
Like an alchemy type
thing. Right.
Where you take it and you know. Yeah.
Okay. That's the word.
But a real quick, you know, easy thing to do every morning, especially if you already are a tea or honey, tea or coffee drinker and mm-hmm. you're using honey, use this to add the sweetness to your life, stirring it in. You know, some places or some traditions will tell you clockwise to bring in, counterclockwise to get rid of. I don't do that much attention myself. I'm just, it's in the morning.
I'm a clockwise person.
Yeah.
I'm a clockwise person.
I'm just giving my coffee so I can function in people today. So, but a real easy thing to do with it.
Now, if you want someone to get sweet toward you, now this, okay. now it could be a romantic or it could just be you want your boss to be a little nicer. Right. You can do this. You can write their name on a piece of paper, put it on a saucer and pour honey on it.
Okay.
And then you put a candle in the center.
Okay.
And then burn the candle when the candle burns down. it's complete.
That, you know, I've heard similar, where you you use a little jar, you write their name on the paper, you put it in the jar, you fill the jar. And I always tell people, like, get a small jar, because honey can be expensive, you know, especially now. And then you fill it, and then you light the little candle or a tea light.
And put it on top.
Yep, put it on top, let it go. And then, you know, it helps sweeten, helps sense that intention. Some people will keep the jar for a little while and, like, shake it. You know, if it's a really tough situation, shake it and kind of reactivate it, send that energy back out.
Yep.
So that pain in the butt, coworker, boss, neighbor, stick them in a jar for good reasons.
It's all positive.
Behave. Yes. Yeah. Behave, guys. So Elizabeth says, if you make a cake and it turns out dry, slice it into layers, heat some honey, then brush it on each layer before adding buttercream. Elizabeth is an awesome baker. She knows the secrets.
I never thought of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I should have thought to be like, hey, Elizabeth, why don't you cater the live with honey?
Yeah, that's okay.
Great ideas come way too
Elizabeth, late. Any other tricks on honey? Because I really like mead, but I need to do a little more with the cooking with the honey. And especially,
She's an excellent baker. Yeah. She tips all up in her sleeves.
Okay, so other things about honey. They use it as an offering to Aphrodite, love and beauty.
Mm-hmm.
Milk and honey, you mix the two together. Always do that. The Hindus thought honey is one of the five elixirs of immortality.
Because who doesn't want to live forever?
In this world, I don't know. That's a whole other topic.
This is where somebody cues the Highlander theme song from the TV show.
Honey, you mentioned honey sticky. It is.
It is. Yes. So
what you could do is you could get some poppets and put honey between them.
Okay.
Stick them together.
There we go.
And then wrap a cord around them.
Okay.
With your intent.
Right.
Keep them together. Now, honey never solidifies. So in the future, you could undo the cord and
peel them apart.
Peel them apart if that was what you want the result, but or just keep them together.
There we go. Now, the thing I will say, maybe using honey in some of your working, like your storing, if it's a spell piece that you have to keep, you know, make sure you keep it in a good airtight container or something, because, you know, little bugs might.
Like I said, if we get that moisture above 21-22%, now it has the moisture it needs and it has the sugar it needs, and it's like, bacteria just loves it.
So find a good Ziploc bag. What do you call a storage container?
Yeah.
You know, keep it sanitary all the way around.
Did you ever hear about infused honey?
I have, though I haven't tried any.
Quite a couple things here. I just wrote down a few here. Lavender honey is for enhancing your magical abilities, just in general.
Okay.
Now, how would you make infused lavender honey? Very simply. Lavender buds. Put your honey. Put the lavender in a jar. Pour honey to just cover it.
Okay.
Put the lid on. Mm-hmm. And you would put this in a north-facing window, just like you would make any other tincture. And the reason I say north-facing window, you don't want it in direct sunlight.
Okay.
But you don't necessarily want it in the dark. So a north-facing window is going to have light, but not direct sunlight.
But not like so bearing down on it.
Right.
Okay.
And 30 days later, that honey would be infused with the lavender, and you would take it in your tea, coffee.
Coffee, tea, on some baked goods.
Yep. I do the same thing with rosemary, but that's for beauty, love, prophecy, and healing.
Okay.
We all want to do healing. So...
especially in this time and age right now.
Yes.
Feeling
and
work.
By putting rosemary in the honey, it will add some taste to it.
Okay.
So it will change the taste slightly. It's still going to be sweet.
Mm-hmm.
But, and especially for healing, it'd be nice if you got some honey, you infuse it with rosemary, and you gave it as a gift to a friend who might need healing.
There we go.
With some intent on there, and you have a nice, nice gift. Pine honey. You can just use the pine needles. I like to use white pine.
Okay.
That's the less stronger. And pine has vitamin C in it. So you're actually infusing vitamin C into your honey. I don't know if you ever heard of pine needle tea.
I have.
Okay, that we do teach that in our plant classes. You just take about 15 pine needles from the white pine.
Okay.
Along, and you can remember that real easy because the word white has 5 letters.
Okay.
And when you take a bundle off the white pine, mm-hmm. it's got 5 needles per bundle. So white has 5 and 5 needles.
Nice. Okay.
So you can just put that in a cup, pour hot water on it, and that's pine needle tea. Leave it steep for 10 minutes.
Oh, I was seeing like Lori had the suggestion of rosemary honey on chicken.
That sounds
really good.
Good.
And like
who said that?
Lori.
Lori, thank you. You just know what's for my dinner tomorrow.
Elizabeth is saying, like, in some recipes, corn syrup can be substituted, or honey can be substituted for corn syrup.
Yes.
So
I know in cooking, if you're substituting honey for the sugar, mm-hmm. you need to decrease the liquids by just a little bit in the rest of the recipe because the honey is going to add some liquid.
Right.
But corn syrup would be a 1-to-1.
Okay.
Yeah.
Evil corn syrup.
Flower honey, beauty, love, and happiness.
Which is this kind, right?
This would be other. This is wildflower honey. And okay. The reason I say that, because I have no control over where my bees go.
Where those little busy bees went.
Now, flower honey would be, flowers have different intentions and different purposes.
Okay.
So you would take those flowers specifically and put it in the honey, leave it set. And that flower's purpose would be infused in the honey.
So like if you have a really good rose bush.
Right.
There we go. Because I do. I have one that refuses to die.
Well, that's a good one. Right. Immortality.
Yes. In with the honey.
Yeah.
Add that to my coffee.
Oh, my gosh. Like I said, do you want to live forever?
Not really.
Time for protection, confidence, and cleansing. Confidence is great.
Yeah.
Especially if you have some young kids.
We always
have confidence. You know, if they're
school-age kids,
confidence is big. So, mm-hmm. Eucalyptus. Now that's for protection on crossing.
Mm-hmm.
If you feel that somebody's or in healing. And lastly, sage honey, healing, protection, and
soothing.
Yes. So, they all have little... nuances to them.
You know, these would all work really well in like little jar spells or I've never tried it on candle working, but I would say light amount of the honey on the candle working.
To anoint the candles. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And especially if you had a candle of a certain color for an intention
mm-hmm.
and you have infused honey, you're going to anoint that candle with.
Right.
This is similar. I know we just did a mudra class, and I was saying the reason I got into mudras is if I'm meditating, I want to add something else to make the meditation stronger.
Right.
Same thing here. If we're, you know, have some intention with a candle, let's supercharge our time with that by.
Right. And because it's such a binding thing, you know, you can inscribe your intention however you do your candle working, you know, lay out wax paper, whatever herbs you want to add, like lay that out. Put the honey on the can and then roll it.
Okay.
So then the herbs would be, you know, on the outside of, which kind of can work on a 7-day glass candle, but you know, that would be more for, you know, your candles that aren't in glass. So, you know, inscribing, you know, what you're working with and then putting the honey and then like rolling it in the herb and then lighting it. Pretty simple, you know, candle working there.
What else about the honey that I talked about the allergies? We talked about that.
Does anybody have any questions? Because I think we're kind of getting towards the end of like the basics.
Basics. I mean, I could, you know, I don't want to bore the people. I mean, we could get into, okay, how do I extract the honey and all the details about honey and stuff. Some of my plant classes, we make cough remedies.
Okay.
Like cough drops.
Mm-hmm.
You can use honey instead of sugar in the cough drops. If you're doing that, make sure you get that temperature to the hardball candy stage plus a couple degrees. Like 305 would be nice.
Okay.
But if you want to make a cough syrup, all you do is you make an infusion. Okay, one plant is coltsfoot. It's been used for cough medicine for ages. So you would make a very strong infusion, or I'm sure everybody knows an infusion is just making a tea.
Right.
Make a very strong tea, mix half of the tea with half honey, and that's a cough syrup.
Oh, wow.
That's all it takes to make a cough syrup. You take your infusion and 50-50 with honey. Now the honey's gonna, now the infusion's gonna help your throat with cold foot and all that and bronchial, but the honey also soothing, it's gonna have it stick to your throat a little longer.
Okay.
As antibacterial.
Nice.
But that's,
I didn't
that's
really, a it was
trick.
That easy.
Yeah, the trick with cough syrup is add 50% honey.
So in a way we're stepping into that kitchen witchery and, you know, garden witchery.
Yeah.
And speaking of, Elizabeth would like to know how she, as a non-beekeeper, like what can she do to help the fuzzy little bee butts?
Oh, thank you so much. the easiest thing is don't use Roundup.
Okay.
I'm sure you heard about colony collapse. And people are asking me all the time, this colony collapse disease, what is it? They were thinking it was cell phones and all kind of crazy stuff. It's not. They believe now it's a nicotinoidal type compound in a lot of the weed killers, especially like Roundup. And it's not enough to kill the bees. It's enough to make them act goofy.
Okay.
And by that I mean, I had this happen to me. I had one hive. It put no honey away for winter in September. What a beekeeper does, he puts on top the beehive a box with sugar water in it to substitute for the nectar. And the bees in the past always would take the sugar water and store it so they would have something to eat the winter. They wouldn't take the sugar water. I even put honey up there. They wouldn't take the honey. So they went into November with no honey and they died by middle of November.
Oh.
I had one hive, this is about 3 or 4 years ago, they left the hive in the middle of November. And like I said, the queen takes half, the whole hive just left.
Oh no.
It'd be like you in the middle of January walking out of your house in a bathing suit without any money or anything, barefoot, and just start wandering north.
Right. And you're like, come on guys, follow me.
You know, they do stupid things. So Roundup would be the one thing. Anything else but those weed killers.
Back Instagram.
The flowers. They love white flowers. They see that real good because they see ultraviolet. They can't see red flowers that good.
Really? They don't see red?
They're not that well.
Okay.
So planting the flowers, especially flowers that are going to be blooming in August. Because right now, I mean, the early honey flow, you get dandelion. You're getting wildflowers now. They have the gardens. Flowers that are going to be blooming in August and September, they're actually looking for nectar so they can put honey away for the winter.
Okay.
Because a beekeeper like me will take honey off in June, like we got this, and then take honey off again maybe mid-August.
Okay.
And then I won't anymore, and I'll let them have the latter part of August and September to fill up the hive so they can get through the winter. So they need flowers later
like all
year. Yeah.
There's a question about whether if honey is healthier and better than sugar for type 1 and type 2 diabetes.
I have read about that, and it's all sucrose, so it does not matter.
So it's not really any
it's
more
not
beneficial.
Any more beneficial than anything else. No.
Okay.
I will tell you a trick I just recently found out. If you take vegetable glycerin,
okay,
you can use that as a sweetener, and that does not affect your blood sugar.
Oh, so there you go, guys.
You can look it up online, vegetable glycerin, and I did have some because, again, I'm getting off the subject of bees, but to make your tinctures, you use alcohol, 100 proof alcohol.
Okay.
If somebody can't drink alcohol or for some reason is opposed to alcohol, you can use that vegetable glycerin instead of the 100 proof vodka to make your tinctures.
Okay. Interesting.
And it's very sweet.
Okay. Well, there you go. You know,
you might want to look that up to do some research. I'm not a doctor, but just give you some leads on that.
And then Lori was wanting to know what plant you mentioned a little bit ago about in making of the plant, or I'm sorry, of the cough syrup. Like, what was it that for the tea part that you then add to the honey?
my little recipe, I use slippery elm root bark. Now, be careful when you're buying a slippery elm, because if it's very inexpensive, they're just taking the slippery elm tree and putting it through a shredder and selling it to you. That it will have some benefits.
Okay.
You actually want the root bark. So that's going to be more expensive, because just think, somebody has to cut the tree down, take potato peeler, carve up the root
bark. It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. So it's going to be a little more expensive. But I make the tea out of the slippery elm root bark, which is great for bronchial problems. I'll take mullein. That's growing now. Okay. I take the leaf of the mullein and put that in.
Okay.
And then I take the coltsfoot leaves.
Okay.
And again, if you say, geez, okay, coltsfoot isn't blooming anymore, I don't know where any is, you can buy all these from a reputable, I don't know if you carry any of that.
I have mullein.
You have mullein?
I don't have the coltsfoot, but, you know, that's just something that now that I know to maybe look for it.
Yeah.
You know, I can see
it. Or maybe you could put together a little packet of slippery elm bark, coltsfoot, and
this mullein. Little fly.
And mullein is great for bronchial problems. You take the leaves of the mullein and dry them. And then come wintertime when you have some chest problems, you burn it and inhale the smoke.
The smoke?
And that just, I tried it this last year. It worked really well.
And Sandra wanted to know where to find the glycerin.
Online, Amazon.
Online.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not one that's glycerin. Just on the shelf at, you know, the grocery store. It's one that you have to cut.
No, it might be someplace, but I just typed it in. Vegetable glycerin. Not expensive.
Okay, and what would be a good price then for that slippery elm bark, you know, that they know that it's really what it should be?
You have to check the price on someplace like Mountain Rose Herbs.
Okay.
And they're a good reputable, or you might want to see what Frontier Herbs has, or Jeans Greens. They're in New Hampshire. They're very reputable, but Mountain Rose Herbs, their price is about what you're gonna.
You should see.
Yeah, and you're gonna say, "Gee, they're a little higher than most." Yeah, but
it's good.
But it's
and
good
stuff. You can trust what you're getting. Yeah.
That's important. Don't get it at Walmart.
don't get it at Walmart.
okay. Anything? Well, let's see, honey.
Did we have any other little spell things?
I did.
Flipping up pages.
You went over making a honey jar for improving relationships. You said put the name in here, and then you take your honey and put it over, and put a fitting lid, put the candle on. That's pretty.
I mean, and you can also do something kind of similar for relationship. Now that there's that fine line about, you know, the whole romance workings and stuff, trying to bend somebody's will, and you like Johnny doesn't like you. So take that with, you know, into your own hands, but you could do similar with like honey and rose petals and, you know, pink candle. You know, what side of the fence are you on about, you know, love spell and free will and, you know, all of that fun.
Yep. It's a tight walk.
It is. And I normally will get that kind of stuff customers asking because, you know, somebody cheated on somebody and they want that person back. And my usual reply is, why would you?
Yeah.
Why would you want them back? Why not go for better instead of, and I know it's a lot of emotional, and I'm like, come back in 30 days and see if you still feel that.
You know, Melissa, what I use as a gauge, and I don't know if this would help anybody,
right?
But if I'm looking for a loophole, or if I'm asking you, can I do this? You know, it's not right.
If you're looking for a loophole
or a way to get around a rule, you know, it's not right. So don't do it.
Right. And you're hoping somebody will give you the permission then, so then you can take yourself off the
hook. Exactly. So if that question comes up, the answer is no for me.
So Elizabeth wanted to ask about the medicinal honey for wounds. So that's kind of like what you were saying before. Like if you have the cut, you put the honey on.
Yep. It won't get infected at all. And it will seem to heal it a little quicker and reduce scarring too.
Okay.
So it's all around a good little thing to add.
Now, how long would you leave the honey on before you should like wash it off, add another layer or?
If I get a wound and I'll either put my first aid salve on it. If that's not around, it'll be honey. And I'll put a Band-Aid on it and just leave it there. And when I change the Band-Aid, I'll put a little more honey on. And then once it scars over, it's...
You're done.
You're pretty much done. You can put it on if you really are concerned about scarring. Or mix, if you really want to go nuts, mix honey and some vitamin E together. Just a little drop of honey, vitamin E, however you have it, mix it together, put it on there.
And then put it on.
And... that's going to be
so vitamin E helps with really bad bruising too.
Yes. And vitamin E is a preservative.
Okay.
People aren't familiar with that. So if you make a first aid salve with oil and plants, mm-hmm. And it has to be refrigerated, you can put vitamin E in this first aid salve and you don't have to refrigerate it. It's going to extend the shelf life to 2 years and it's going to help because it's vitamin E.
There you go. So that could even work with some of your other like little magical.
Yeah.
Gatherings and stuff. Yep. With the vitamin E in there. Yep. You extended your shelf life of your fun things that you're making.
Yep. We always want to do that.
All right.
And label everything.
Oh my God. This feels like I made it for.
Let's see what else about honey. Like I said, it never goes bad. It's great to add.
Elizabeth says, once you hit 30, you need all the preservatives. I'm feeling even more so at 40 with it. Yeah. Huh?
But this was fun.
Yeah.
I love talking bees.
This is kind of what we do on Thursdays. Really? You know, so I guess to recap real quick, because you are a local beekeeper.
Yep.
And we are, you know, you're in Seven Hills.
Yep.
And we do carry your honey. We have the 1 pound, 2 pound, 3 pound jars. We will have your pollen soon.
Bee pollen should be in by the 15th of July.
Okay.
I'm going to collect it.
All right.
And
and you are like a walking encyclopedia of all things outdoors. We could throw drop Tom out of a plane in the middle of a forest and this man can survive. What to eat, what not to eat, what to do with plants. And you even know the more spiritual side on a lot of this.
All the Native Americans said the physical was only half and the spiritual was the other half.
Right.
So you needed both to be a complete.
So hopefully we can wrangle Tom for some more videos like this. And you teach classes.
Yes, I do. Outdoor wilderness survival. Mm-hmm. And it's not the military type. It's what the Native Americans did. It's not building a bunker and, you know, in your backyard. It's finding what plants you can eat, how to naturally purify water, how to navigate without a map and compass, just like the natives did.
Cool deal. Yeah. And but you also do incense classes, a mead winemaking class. Yeah. That one was popular when we did it.
We're doing soap making classes, wine making, cheese making. Yeah. And I'm not sure if you know this one.
Oh.
I'm doing a moonshine making class.
Oh, I do now. I guess what we're going to be offering, moonshine class.
Well, it's legal because the way you make gasohol for your automobile is exactly the same way you make moonshine. So
see that, guys?
So I'm allowed to teach a gasohol class, but it's the same way. So I'm not sure exactly what the laws are. If you're making your own tinctures, you can make your own alcohol for your own tinctures and put intent in making the alcohol.
Okay.
So we're really supercharging those tinctures. So.
Hey, there we go. Oh, so Sandra will set aside a honey jar for you, and Sandra's voting for mead class.
Mead class is great. It's great. And I like to do it in gallon quantities because then you can say, okay, in this gallon, which is 5/5 of wine, I'm going to add cinnamon. In this one, I'm going to add something else. And so you have all these different, you know, and as long as you keep good notes, you can reproduce it.
Right.
You don't have 5 gallons to go, okay, I tried this mixture and it doesn't taste that great. And you have 5 gallons of not doing
it. And then you break it down and you give it to the people that you don't like. Oh, and she says her son would love the moonshine class. So okay. I think
Our classes are at www.survivalschool.com. Mm-hmm. And they're all listed there.
Yeah. And we'll have to get them scheduled here too.
Yeah. We have them here. We can bring a still here and, you know.
All right. Yes, Shaman Rhea, we will get the classes rolling because those of you that are in the whole Ohio area, and I haven't had time to check today after 2 o'clock to see if they extended the no more than 10 people in a gathering, which is why we weren't doing classes for the month of June because most of our classes have more than 10 people. Yeah. So as long as that didn't get extended, hopefully we can go back to doing the classes and get that going here. And when it's nice enough, we can even throw open that back door.
That'd be nice.
And, you know, even, you know, have some of that outside because it's granted we have a fence, but, you know, there's some pretty trees and stuff back there.
It's nice to be outside.
So, but, you know, with that, you know, if there's not any last minute questions,
you know, they could always email you or email me.
Yeah.
Tom@survivalschool.com. Mm-hmm. And here at the store, they can email you. And
yeah. Oh, and you also have the phone number, right, that they can call you?
The toll-free number is, if you have a pencil, it's 888-886-5592. I'll repeat it, 888-886-5592.
And don't panic, guys. This will be on replay on YouTube. Oh. So subscribe to YouTube. You'll get all of our videos, upcoming and newer, but you can always go back and rewatch this. So if you were driving or didn't have a way to write down, you can always go back, scrub to the part that you need. And there you go. But yeah, we'll see about having Tom back for some of your other
knowledge.
I'd love
to. Thanks for inviting me. It was fun.
Feel free to send in, you know, suggestions of what you think Tom might be able to talk about that you have an interest in. And we'll make it so.
It was fun.
All right. And Nikki and I will be back on Sunday, 7 o'clock. We'll be doing the cauldron burning and blessings. So you can join us, anybody from anywhere. We'll have the cauldron going. We'll put in the blessings for you, healing work. So you can interact with us and other people in chat. So that'll be Sunday at like 7.
Oh, okay.
So you can join us all then. Lori wants to know if you're somewhere else other than Ohio. Thanks, Sandra. She's like my little secretary there, typing in the phone number for everybody. Do you outside of Ohio?
Oh, yes. We do. We have a listing of classes for the public. And then I have a 18-foot trailer that I've gone till Milwaukee do classes, the Carolinas, New York. And we can do almost any class on the road.
Okay.
As long as we have enough people and it makes sense, we'll be happy.
And we're starting to do some of the recordings for you too.
Yes.
So we'll be able to, you guys could do some of the classes online.
Though there's nothing like hands-on.
Especially that wilderness survival, like walking through, you know, a wooded area and like, don't touch that, that you can eat, that will kill you.
Or you rubbing two sticks together to make fire. We can teach you how to do that, but doing it over the internet's a little tougher.
Yeah, that's not as fun. So, you know, but with that, thank you guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Catch us on Sunday with Nikki for the blessing work with the cauldron. And we'll be back Thursday, may or may not with Tom. We'll find out. And we'll see everybody later.
Thank you.
All right. Bye, guys.
Have a good weekend.